WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line, and this morning we are focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. So many things happening there. Ron Malone is our first guest. Ron is the MTSU Assistant Vice President of Events and Transportation. Ron, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Bar.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Great to be here.
A lot happening at MTSU, and everybody was saying in the past, I wish we had more parking places. And their wishes are now true.
Well, we are so happy that those things are coming true. It's been a challenge over the last 10, 12 years or so, but the 10-year parking plan is sort of coming to fruition now. We had about 11,500 spaces back in 2003, and this fall we're happy to say we'll have about 13,200 spaces on our MTSU campus.
And you have quite a bit of those that are under roof in multi-level parking.
Oh, we are so excited about the new parking garages. I guess they're not so new. They've been in place for about a year now, but we're very, very excited about them. About 500 spaces in each garage has about 500 spaces in them. And they are for students. They're built by students, and so students can just simply swipe their cards, gets them in, gets them out, and gets them pretty close to the core of campus. So we're very excited about the garages here. Yeah.
And the great thing, in addition to the parking, you have a phenomenal, and you've had this for a long time, but it just goes in with it well, the shuttle bus service that takes you from the parking lots to your classes.
One of the things that we were really pushing very hard when we began the 10-year plan a few years ago there, Bart, was that we really needed to be able to accommodate our commuter students, get them back and forth from the perimeter of campus as quickly as we possibly could. We realized that with the number of faculty, staff, vendors, et cetera, that are on campus, we needed to sort of close down the core as much as we could. And so one of the main priorities was to make sure that every road that we could possibly modify, change, improve, would add designated bus lanes and shuttle lanes so that now the shuttle buses can actually run from those perimeter lots where people can park their car, hop right out, hop right on one of the shuttle buses and have it take them right to campus. Initially, the shuttles were only as effective as the traffic they ended up having to sit in. Now we're pleased to say that we can get you from one point in the perimeter to the core in a very short period of time. And one of the greatest things is that our office, our ITD, not the ITD office, but the, well, I guess it is the ITD office, came up with this great app that allows students to sort of, they can see the buses on their smartphones so they know exactly where they're located. They can wait right there in the car. They don't have to get out in the rain or the cold weather or the wind, and as soon as they see the bus, then they can hop right on it. But yeah, the app is great, and the new shuttle lanes are just operating very, very well.
Well, our hats also are off to MTSU for their unique usage of the roundabouts, and these are really becoming popular.
Yes, the roundabouts have really served us well. I don't know, I'm sure you were on that campus a few years back, Bart, where one of the situations that we had was a four-way stop that was located, I guess, just west of the Rutherford Boulevard entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
at times you could sit in that four-way stop. And I'm sure it was so frustrating. Being a graduate myself, I sat at that four-way stop for a few minutes trying to get to class. And so one of the things that we decided that we desperately needed to do was improve that situation. The wonderful folks that we had from Lowson Associates, that they were our consultants on a lot of these projects, came in with an idea that, you know, one of the things that really works well in congested areas like this is a roundabout. It slows the traffic, but it allows the traffic to continue to move through, and it has worked out like a charm. As a result, Since we built that first one, we've gone back in and built two additional roundabouts, and they all work very, very well. So we're excited about that.
And these are proven ways to make traffic flow. I mean, they've used them, I guess, ever since we've had cars in Europe.
Yes, Europe. Yeah, that is the that's the standard bearer there. But, you know, it's interesting. We're starting to get a lot of calls from a lot of our colleagues at other universities who are having the same problem that we have. I guess I shouldn't say problem, challenges that we had. And they're asking, how are those roundabouts working for you? We've had people come down and take a look and just see how well it works and how efficient it is.
Well, I've noticed that the city of Murfreesboro is even taking notice because it has a few roundabouts, and they're building another one in this downtown area that they're renovating with the bridge now.
Absolutely. They work like a charm. So we're just excited. We were on the cutting edge there.
Very definitely. Well, you always are at MTSU. Now, speaking of cutting edge, I understand Lightning Way is a lot of construction on Lightning Way. And for people who don't know exactly where Lightning Way is, tell us, and also tell us what you're doing to improve there.
Well, one of the things that we've really tried to do is we've added the new shuttle lanes and the designated lanes for our buses. We've put in medians and things like that. We've improved things aesthetically. But one of the things that we really wanted to make sure that we did, as every time we go in and do a project like this, we want it to be able to connect everything together. And so Lightning Way, if folks are familiar with campus, it's just south of the Livestock Center, Tennessee Livestock Center. And if you come in, if you're coming in off of Greenland Drive, you can come in either off of Champions Way, or you can come in off of the new road that we put in that is Blue Raider Drive, has a traffic signal there off of Greenland Drive as well. And as you're coming into campus, basically Lightning Way connects you from Blue Raider Drive to Champions Way, and it is now a nice, and there are two roundabouts on either end, so it's a nice four lane, basically two shuttle lanes, two traffic lanes, and can move traffic through, and it does it beautifully.
Well, Ron, since you are involved in heading up the campus improvements, road improvements, things of this sort, we can't let this opportunity slip away without asking you about how is it going on Middle Tennessee Boulevard. I know from Mercury on over to East Main, that is complete, but it just... It stalled. I don't know.
Yes,
what's happening.
It did. I think there were some challenges in terms of trying to make sure that all of the property was assessed appropriately. We'll have to move a few things over on our MTSU side. I guess the tennis courts are going to be affected there. We'll probably lose a few there. The marquee that's out front of the Murphy Center is is probably going to be. It may end up biting the dust when all of the plans are completed. And so, you know, there were several challenges that were involved there. And of course, the city, I think, has and the county has done a really good job of trying to pull all of these different things together. I think all of the land is coming off of the MTSU side as opposed to a lot of the private property that's owned on the west side of Middle Tennessee Boulevard. But as I understand it, they are moving forward. And hopefully that thing will be bid here fairly soon. I think as long as I've been in this position, we've been told that, hey, we're going to start that 2 years from now. So we think that that's going to come to fruition here pretty soon. It's going to get bid, and they'll start on that project. The challenge we're going to have on campus, obviously, is that's a big entry point for our students, faculty, and staff. But the other good thing that we have going for us is we have added several new entrances to campus. So while that construction is going on, and I think they're planning on maintaining during that construction at least one lane north and one lane south, it's still going to be very congested. The great thing about MTSU's campus right now is that we've had the time, I guess you could say, to put in the new entrances. So you can come in off of Champions Way. You don't have to worry about as much traffic. You have Blue Raider Drive. On the south side of campus, City View is a road that folks have access to now, as do, I guess there are a couple of other roads, too, at the south, City View, College Heights, And all of those roads are going to allow individuals coming in on the south side, so they don't necessarily have to get caught up in the traffic once construction starts on Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Tell us about what's happening at Murphy Center. I know some exciting things that we're getting ready. It seems like a long way away, but it'll basketball season will be here before we know it.
It will.
What's going on there?
Well, it's we're very, very happy that some of the requests that we have put in for funding have been approved, or approved by the board several years ago. I guess it's been about 3 years ago now, for a new roof and a new HVAC system. If anybody has been in that Murphy Center for an August graduation in the past, one of the things that they felt was the heat. We were always praying for a little cloudy weather and some rain for the August graduation. This year, even though the sun was bright and shining, if you were at graduation in August a couple of weeks ago, well, I guess it was last week, it was nice and cool. It's due to the new HVAC systems that have been put in. So we're very, very excited about our ability to be able to control that now. The facility now has its new roof. And then one of the other things that has that we decided, since we were doing all of this construction, was that the concession stands would be modified. And so that's really going to help out athletics from that standpoint, and help out any of the other events that we host at the Murphy Center. It's an exciting time to be at MTSU and be over there in that building. My facility folks are just so excited about all of the wonderful things that are taking place. And so it's been a challenge, no doubt about it, to try and work around all of the construction that's going on. As a result, we're having to move the fall meeting, I think it was called convocation in the past, but typically it was held at the Murphy Center, where the president comes in, the book that was required of all freshmen, they would hold all of that in the Murphy Center. With the construction, we're having to hold that outside in the stadium this year, so that we can finish up our work prior to the beginning of basketball season. So everyone, we're praying that we have no rain on that date. But we're just excited about what the Murphy Center is going to look like, what it's going to be able to do. It's a great, great facelift for a great old building.
Speaking of new things at MTSU, the Bell Street Center, which was a part of the old hospital, which this was the newest part of the old hospital, so it's a very new building.
Yes, it is.
Which also has an adjacent multi-level parking garage, which that excites you, I know.
Oh, it does.
Tell us a little about the future for that as you look into your crystal ball.
Well, the new building is going to get a lot. It's going to get some major facelifts. There are a lot of the executive MBA program is moving to that location. There are quite a few of the departments that are now on campus, where faculty and staff are sort of sharing offices and things like that. They're going to be moving into that new building. And there's a little over 100 parking spaces right behind the Bell Street building, so we'll be able to accommodate them there. And so we're excited about having that new facility. We also, of course, have the parking garage, and that was included in the purchase. And then there's another parking lot, surface lot, that's right across the street to the south. So there are about 362 spaces, I believe, in the garage. We are going to be renovating that garage, and we're planning to get that open so that we'll be able to utilize it. And once we get it up and running, one of the things we'll do is we'll, of course, run our shuttle buses back and forth from that location, so that if individuals choose to park there, they will be able to catch the shuttle bus, ride it right over to campus, and gives us another perimeter parking location.
When do you guesstimate that the first classes will be in the building?
Well, they're working on the working with the contractors and the individuals right now who are designing it and coming up with the new ideas as to how that's going to take place. But I would imagine we're probably about 16 months out before we will probably next fall will be as close as we'll be able to come to having classes in that facility.
Any other new innovations happening at MTSU that you'd like to tell us about?
We're just excited. My parking folks are just so happy that this fall we will have nothing under construction on campus, so everyone will be able to roll around, get where they need to go. It's going to be a good time to be on our campus, and at the present time, I think we're just going to take a break. We're going to see how all of the improvements that we've done to this point have worked out. If we do anything, new lighting, new sidewalks, things like that, we'll be doing those kinds of things. But hopefully no road construction anytime soon.
Some exciting things happening
Absolutely.
At MTSU, as always. Ron Malone visiting with us in this segment. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bart.
Stay with us. We're going to continue the conversation as we focus on Blue Raider Country.
This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls middays on WGNS, consumer questions, money concerns, and more.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church Street across from Indian Hills Golf Course. We've got incredible deals right now on guitars, drums, PA equipment. We're offering a super deal where if you buy a drum package, you can get a $350 hardware package for $99. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church Street across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Bell Jewelers, celebrating 135 years. Lisa Halliburton, owner of Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1879, celebrating our 135th year.
Celebrate 135 years with Bell Jewelers with this huge store-wide sale. Everything will be discounted up to 75% off. Pandora is excluded.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
The sale is August 20th through the 26th.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, gloves, and mouth guards. You'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. Busy traffic this morning already in Murfreesboro. Several accidents causing problems for us at this time. We also have lots of congestion. I-24 at 96, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. We picked up an injury accident, Haynes Drive at Sulphur Springs Road. We've got a fender bender, I-24 at South Church, and also Medical Center Parkway at Gateway. An accident there still in the clearing stages for us. Shop the biggest and the best selection of flooring in the South at Stover's Liquidation. 3-inch wide oak pre-finished flooring, just $1.49 per square foot. In Antioch and online at stoversliquidation.com. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon, a high into the mid-80s, and winds out of the west between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 73.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit us. Enjoy a hot, delicious cookie, and we are very grateful to those customers that have helped us with our success. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Sometimes you gotta wonder, is there anybody in town Truman Jones doesn't know? Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
Six chances and 10, it won't come back again.
Welcome back. We are focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. Becca Sewell is with us now. She is the MT One-Stop Coordinator and founder of the MTSU Student Food Pantry. Becca, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us today. Well, tell us a little about the Student Food Pantry. I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart.
It is, very much so. We started the pantry back in 2012. We noticed a need of students that were coming on campus from foster care and homeless situations that just didn't have the financial and parental support that most of our students have. So we started the food pantry, and it's been a huge success. We have kind of fluctuations in donations. We have months where we have lots of donations come in, months where we have none. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is just trying to restock for the fall.
And so the fall semester is quickly approaching. Does the need just explode all of a sudden?
Absolutely. We have over 3,000 new freshmen coming to campus alone, plus all of our returning students and transfers. And the need is growing, so we have to continue to replenish the pantry in order to support our students the best we can.
What types of items do you have in the food pantry?
We take a little bit of everything. Our students tend to take things that are quick and easy, things they can take to class with them, granola bars, cracker packs, juices, things like that. But we do have non-traditional students as well that like to cook. So pasta, bags of beans and rice, cans of ravioli, things that they can survive on for the week.
Now, this opened in the fall of 2012, mm-hmm. So you've been here for a little over 2 years now. Tell us, has the need been greater than what you expected?
It absolutely has, and I don't know if it's necessarily the need is bigger, but now that people know that it's there, we're seeing it more. We have more and more students that are coming forward and saying, hey, I need a little bit of help. I need to focus in class. Can I have something to take with me? So the need is growing as quickly as our student population is growing.
And so the public, is it just the general public who helps you, or churches, or what?
We have a little bit of everything. We have our campus community has been wonderful through it all. We have student organizations and groups that donate. We have classes that organize food drives during the semester, but we definitely do have community partnerships that come and collect things monthly and bring to us. Eastern Star and a couple of our local churches are great with their donations. We encourage everybody that would like to help our students to send us donations, bring them in. We also have a food pantry website. It's mtsu.edu/food pantry, and our alumni have use that a lot to donate monetarily online, and we'll just go and get what we need as the need arises.
Is this something that is happening in campuses all over the United States, a need for food for the students?
It is. Actually, we've had several campuses from across the nation and Huffington Post, several big publishers contact us about how we started our pantry, why we started it, and we've kind of served as the model for a lot of schools across the nation.
How much do you collect? How much have you collected since you got going?
In the 2 years that we've been running, we've collected just over 12,000 pounds of food. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when we've had 750-plus students access it, it tends to go pretty quickly.
And again, what are some of the types of food? You mentioned the food bars and what mm-hmm. have you, but what else do people want?
They take everything. We have canned vegetables, canned meat. We have breakfast items, cereal, Pop-Tarts. The typical college foods like ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese, they take a lot of. Anything that we have overages of, we will send to Greenhouse Ministries. We have a really strong partnership with them. We're not able to be the sole food provider for our students, but we're there to help in the interim when they're missing a paycheck or something like that. So we send our students that have long-term need to Greenhouse. So anything that we have a lot of that we can't give out before it expires, we take to Greenhouse as well.
Okay. Well, now, are these students mostly on campus, or do they live off campus, or is it a pretty healthy mix?
It's definitely a healthy mix. I mean, we have students that do live on campus. A lot of our on-campus students have meal plans. So when they start running out of it towards the end of the semester, we'll see them a lot more. But we have both on-campus and off-campus students visit the pantry regularly.
Now, when you go to one of the cafeterias there on campus, do they give a special discount to a student who doesn't have as much monetary funds as, say, another student?
No, they all have meal plans built in on their ID cards. And then once they get low, that's when they come to us. And that's when we have meal vouchers for some of the cafeterias on campus that we can give them if they're wanting to eat on campus. And then we also, of course, have the pantry to help offset their need.
Are they eating pretty healthy? I mean, obviously, if you go to one of the cafeterias on campus, you can, if you choose, you can have a good healthy meal. But if you choose not to, you could have, the old fast food stuff too.
Right. And a lot of our students will come to us because they know that they can get vegetables and fruits when they come to us. Of course, all of ours are canned because we can't do perishable food. But we have a lot of students that come in and they will strategically plan out their week of meals and get as many vegetables as they can and fruit, as many meats that they can get. So they're definitely trying. So that's a good thing.
So do you feel like yours is about what you would find in any city of 25,000 persons or so, which is about the student enrollment in that general neighborhood?
Right. Our food pantry is actually small compared to some of the larger institutions' food pantries, but that's not completely shocking. We've just now gotten it started, and it's going to grow as much as we can grow. We're over in the new one stop. So we have a dedicated larger space now. So we hope to continue to grow it because, I mean, like you said, the need is there and it's growing. So we're going to have to adjust.
Now, you're the coordinator of the One Stop. Tell us a little more about what that is.
The One Stop opened back in March, and we house financial aid, records, scheduling. We do a little bit of business office and admissions type stuff. We are the kind of the center hub for students now on the administrative side. If they need help, most of it's financial aid and records, but they come to us. We were 6 or 7 deep at 7:30 this morning already. So we are getting into our busy time. So we have a lot of students that come in and out of that building.
When does the first class begin?
August 25th, the first day.
So we're just
a week from today.
Away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the students are in there now trying to get everything together. And
yes.
And it's a hectic time.
It definitely is. But the One Stop's open 7:30 to 6 Monday through Thursday and 7:30 to 4:30 on Friday. And every Saturday, 9 to 12 through the middle of September right now. So we're trying to meet needs.
So rather than trying to float all around the campus, figuring out where should I go next, it's all at one location.
It's all right there in the new Student Services and Admissions Center.
That must make you feel proud.
It is. There's a few of us that have kind of been on board since the beginning, since the planning a few years back. And it was kind of our baby. So when it rolled out in March, we were very proud. There's been some great administration and support behind it. So we're very proud of the direction that the campus is going.
And this goes into, I guess you'd call it user-friendly. I mean, just really great customer service.
It is. And we have a great team that staffs the One Stop, and they know what they're doing up there. So the students seem to be pretty pleased.
If you were given a magic wand to wave over this entire program, is there any one thing you'd like to see happen?
With the One Stop or the food pantry or both?
Either one.
Well, with the One Stop, we're kind of catching our stride right now. We're figuring out what has to be done during certain times of the year. So we can just figure that out, figure out what the high peak times are for the different offices. For the food pantry, I think the biggest struggle is the donations have slowed down because of the new location, because people don't know where we are. But we're right there by the visitor lot now. So we're easy access for people to come both off and on campus.
Now, if somebody listening is thinking this is something our church could do, this is something our Sunday school class could do, our scout troop, what do they need to do?
Well, people can donate to the One Stop anytime that we're open. Again, that's Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 6, Friday, 7:30 to 4:30, and every Saturday, 9 to 12 through the middle of September. They can just come to the One Stop. We have staff that can come down and help bring stuff up. If you have large donations, I'll be happy to either come get it myself from the church organization or send somebody from our One Stop to come get it. We want to be as accessible as possible to the community, especially because they are our biggest donors.
So if people want to bring something over to the One Stop at MTSU, where is it?
We are in the brand new Student Services and Admissions Center on the second floor. We're right next to the rec center. I know Ron was just on. If you come in Blue Raider Drive off of Rutherford, we are the first building right there by the rec center on the left.
Very good. Well, I thank you for sharing this great new information. Becca Sewell is with us, and she is the coordinator of the Middle Tennessee One Stop and founder of the MTSU Student Food Pantry. And if you could help, it would be much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Becca, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Have a super day.
You too.
More to come as we focus on Middle Tennessee State University.
And I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues. WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for 4 generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
The Salvation Army Family Store, where your purchases always help us help others. Get 50% off items marked with our color of the week. Here's Lieutenant Andy Seiler.
All the clothing that would have yellow tags, if that's yellow week, would be half off, as well as houseware items. We put new clothes out almost every single day, and different specials and different color tags are also half off for different weeks.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Weather Eye.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon, a high into the mid-80s, and winds out of the west between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 73.
That update brought to you by Kubota. Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event going on now with special promotional pricing on tractors and Commander zero-turn mowers. Click on TennesseeKubotaDealers.com for information. That's TennesseeKubotaDealers.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
He's local. Certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Financial Coaching Radio, weekdays 4 to 5. Live on WGNS.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. We are focusing this time on Bleed Blue Blood Donation, the big competition against Western Kentucky. I've heard of that place somewhere. I'm not sure what that is. Is that a grocery store? WKU? I'm not sure. There's probably somebody from Bowling Green listening that's getting angry out there. We want to say welcome to, we have a whole slew of folks here with us. Diane Turnham, Dr. Gloria Bonner, Robert Wagner. Who else is in here? Gloria?
Okay, I am going to let my dynamic team introduce themselves.
All right.
Because we're preparing for the Bleed Blue Competition Blood Drive on the campus of MTSU. So we will get started right now from the Red Cross.
I'm Mike Cowles. I'm the CEO of the Heart of Tennessee chapter here in Murfreesboro.
I'm Robert Wagner. I'm the district manager for the Red Cross Blood Services.
And also Ray Wiley from the Campus Recreation Center. I'm the associate director there.
Well, it's good to have all of you here. And Diane Turnham is quietly standing.
I won't be quiet long.
Well, tell us about this. This is an annual event. The Bleed Blue, and it's all for a great cause. We heard on the radio earlier this morning about how the Red Cross is low on blood, especially right now, because a lot of the blood is from students in high school and college, and the high schools just got going last week, and MTSU is getting started next week. So it's been a rough time, hasn't it, Mike?
Yes, sir. It sure has. We're in desperate need of blood. I can't speak enough as to how much it is needed across the country, not just here locally, but across the country. During times of storms and disasters and even with car wrecks that happen, there's a lot of blood that is needed, and it's so, so important for us to have that. And I really thank MTSU and Western Kentucky for being a part of this and helping us out with that.
Diane, tell us a little about what this is all about, because I know you are involved in the athletic department, and this is an exciting challenge between MTSU and Western Kentucky.
Well, you know, Western Kentucky is back in our conference this year. They're joining us in Conference USA. And we started this when we were back in the Sun Belt. Chris Massaro, our athletic director, had been a part of that at South Carolina against Clemson every year. And we thought, what a great way to have a drive, because we get very competitive when we talk about Western Kentucky. We want to beat them anytime we go out on the field of competition. But this is a phenomenal opportunity for everyone in the city of Murfreesboro to come out and help us. We want everyone to come out and bleed blue to beat WKU. But as they mentioned, it's a very important time, because, you know, there's a lot of construction around our Red Cross building here now, and a lot of people may be having trouble getting to the Red Cross. So there's no excuse. On September 8th, 9th, and 10th, they can come to MTSU at the rec center. There'll be reserved parking, and they can give blood on those days, and it is just so necessary. You know, we've had several individuals on our staff and some of our athletes who have benefited from the Red Cross and their blood, and so we just cannot emphasize enough how important it is, and with every unit that we get, we can save up to 3 lives. So we just want to encourage everyone out there listening to roll up those sleeves, come bleed blue, and help us beat WKU during that time, and then we'll announce the winner that weekend at the football game.
Now, is there a specific time frame that people have to give blood, or can they do it today and say, I want this to go to the Bleed Blue campaign?
Well, yeah. Our campaign officially starts on September 8th.
Okay.
So we're encouraging our students, once they all get settled into their classes, to come and help us to generate the units that we need for this great community. So starting on the 8th of September, and it's a 3-day period of time, the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So we will be hosting our blood drive, as Ray has said, at the rec center. And we're encouraging members of the community to also help and assist in generating the blood units that we need. So we have provided for free parking on our campus nearest the rec center, and we'll have volunteers there to host the parking lot to assist anyone who wants to have access to our campus during those 3 days.
Now, what are the hours?
We'll start the first one on September 8th at 12 o'clock noon, and that will run until 6 o'clock. On the second day, September 9th, we will begin at 10 o'clock until 6 p.m. And then on the third day, which is a big day for us, we'll start at 9 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Okay, and this is open to the entire community.
The entire community of Murfreesboro.
Now, let's just say, for example, Mike, if it's more convenient for people to give at the Red Cross office, is that possible? And would this still be counted?
Well, it is possible to come to the Red Cross office and give blood, but I don't believe that we're counting it there with the MTSU blood drive.
So you need to go to MTSU.
You do need to go to MTSU, but if for some reason you can't make it there, please come by our office at 501 Memorial. As I said, blood is our country's necessity. It's almost like water at times. I mean, you have to have it. But I am encouraging everybody to go those 3 days over to MTSU. But before or after, please come by 501 Memorial and just disregard the construction. The construction is, I tell you, I live with it every day. And, heck, I see wrecks every day out there. So I'm looking forward to the road being built and the bridge being built. But we're still open. And we're open every day but Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We're even open on Sundays to make it convenient for folks for part of that those days. If you have any you know, problems getting to us, call us at 893-4272. That's 893-4272, and we'll give you some directions. We've kind of got a roadmap that we're working with around the building there. So you may have to park on a pile of dirt, but we'll certainly get you in there and get your blood from you. So.
You will be treated royally.
You sure will.
Now, Ray, tell us a little more about some of the things that MTSU is doing to make this a real success.
I think the key for us right now is just to get the word out to all of our students. In the past, they've been so supportive, and we're really encouraging them to come out. I know a lot of them are going to sign up, but early and get appointments. But we'll have a lot show up day of, and we're just excited about our student body. They do an excellent job of supporting us. Also, we need people to come and just volunteer at the drive as well. So if you can't give blood, we still need volunteers to work the blood drive. So that's another important point that I wanted to make.
If somebody listening right now is thinking, I cannot give blood for one reason or another, but I would like to volunteer, who do they need to contact?
Well, we will be setting up a website that they can contact and fill out there at the university. But certainly if they'll get in touch with me at my office at the athletic department, 898-2450, then certainly we'll be happy to give them some of the times. We have people that will be working the canteen. We have registration, and then we also have parking attendants. So there is something for everyone to do, and we'd love for everyone to come out. And some of our students are really engaged. They love the T-shirt that they get when they give the blood, but we also have one of the campaign buttons this year that our students always try to accumulate throughout the year. So there is something for everyone with this blood drive to come out, and all they have to do is contact myself or Dr. Bonner or Ray, and we will get them in touch with the people they need to be in touch with to help out.
And that was Diane Turnham, if you didn't recognize her voice. And her number again, 898-2450. That's the number to call if you can volunteer. Robert Wagner, as the district manager of donor services for the Red Cross here in the Tennessee Valley region, tell us how critical the situation is right now.
Well, you know, the summer is always a challenging time period for us because high schools and colleges represent about 40% of our blood collections annually at the Red Cross. But this summer's been unusual compared to previous summers. We've had 80,000 less donations during this summer time period this time last year. And with the pending construction projects and everything else that we're having in the region, it has greatly has impacted our supply and meat demand. So this timing for the MTSU-WKU blood drive couldn't come at a better time to meet the needs of our patients here in the community. So we're very thankful to Dr. Bonner and the staff here, along with the MTSU students, because normally this competition would happen in October. Luckily, they have met the needs, and we're going to be here in September. But unfortunately, there is still an urgent need, and that need is continuing. And all blood types are greatly needed during this time period. So,
once again, the Bleed Blue collection will be Monday, September the 8th through Wednesday, September the 10th. And Gloria, I know you've been involved in this for many years.
Yes.
Tell us some of your memories about earlier campaigns and some of the things that people have said to you that, you know, I'm glad that I gave blood in this Bleed Blue campaign. It gave me a good school spirit or
exactly.
Whatever it might have been.
And we're so proud of our student body with the staff and faculty. We started the competition officially in 2010. And from there, we have conducted a blood drive annually. We have made it convenient for everyone to access the registration process by typing in Red Cross Blood and then code in MTSU. So easy access, very convenient, and as students participate and as well as our staff on campus, we have provided enough space through the campus rec so that it doesn't interfere with their class time or research time or office hours.
Okay, so you can just come in, and is it set up so that you can move through there quickly and not take a whole
yes,
lot of time?
Yes, and we're so grateful to Red Cross for providing the staff to facilitate the crowd that we have. And we're just thrilled that our students really understand the significance of giving blood.
So once again, that is September the 8th through the 10th. We're going to remind you about that again in just a moment, but I have to ask Mike one more thing about the Red Cross. How do you get there now? Because you can't get there from Memorial, can you?
That is a loaded question you've got right now for me. Well, there's various ways you can go. If you're coming down Medical Center Parkway, come to Medical Center Parkway and Memorial. Hang a right there, and you can come into our office on the right-hand side there at Memorial. That is our only opening right now. Broadmoor is closed with utility reconstruction, and so that entrance is going to be closed for a little over a year.
Now, this is Broadmoor and Memorial.
Broadmoor and Memorial is closed right now. So that we had two entrances. You can go in one and go out the other. Now you have to kind of do a little...
Can you come in on Broadmoor and Broad?
You can sometimes. I tell you, it's like I said, it's a loaded question you've got me there. But sometimes they're digging up the road. They're putting it back together. They're digging it up. So the best way is just to come down Medical Center Parkway and then get you in there and take a right-hand turn into our office. If you can come and try to make a left-hand turn if you're coming off of 96, but you're taking your life in your own hands there. So it's pretty rough. But I tell you, the local businesses around us have been very nice to us. First Bank is letting us use part of their parking lot. Charter is letting us use some. You know, we're parking just kind of in there behind Logan's at times, and just wherever we can get. Now, we still have plenty of parking spots, but that's soon going to end once they come over into our parking lot and start rerouting those utilities to our building. And
so they're going to be closing off your entrance.
They're closing our entrance in the scheme of things. In the very end, the Memorial side will be closed, and you will be able to go in our Broadmoor side, but we still will have access. It's just going to take some time for folks to get used to how to get to our office. So,
and I understand that once that bridge is constructed, you'll be looking at the second floor.
Almost, I believe. So, yes, sir. We're going to have a retaining wall around us, is best what I can see of the drawings. And so, yes, we will be looking at that. And I hope nobody decides to go over that wall into one of our offices there. So, I don't want any of that Dukes of Hazzard coming through through my building. So.
Well, we need to be sure and support the local Red Cross, because the Red Cross does so very much for all of us in the community, and we're approaching a time of the year. I'm not sure we're ever out of storm season. We seem to, even when we don't expect them, they pop up on us.
They sure do. I tell you, just yesterday, and I hate to interrupt, we had three fires right here in Rutherford County. We had an apartment fire in Smyrna, and then two others. And our disaster action teams were on a roll yesterday. They were getting out there and helping those folks through their time of need. And because I was getting phone calls off and on all day yesterday, letting me know what was going on. So.
Our hats off to the Red Cross. People don't realize how much the local Red Cross does. When somebody loses everything in a fire, you give them the essentials of life. When they need to contact military personnel, the Red Cross is there. Maybe there's a tragedy in the family. Someone's passed away and they need to get word to the service person. The Red Cross is the one who does that. You do all sorts of classes. So it's very important that we support the local Red Cross. And this Bleed Blue campaign is one of the greatest ways. I mean, because right now you are low on blood. I mean, really low on blood. And so come Monday, September the 8th, all the way through Wednesday, September the 10th, which will be here before you know it, you can do two good things. You can support the Red Cross, and you will enable MTSU to once again defeat Western Kentucky, as we have a strong history of doing in everything that we do.
That's true. Yes. We do like to do that.
Yes.
It's a great motivator. And
that's right.
We certainly think that this is such an awesome cause. And our students get really involved. Our athletes can't always give blood, but they work the drive. And so it's just a great way to show your support and help us do a wonderful thing for our community. Certainly Western Kentucky will be doing the same thing. And it's a great rivalry. But when you stop to think of all the lives that we've possibly saved with these blood drives, it is very heartwarming to think about that. So we encourage every Blue Raider everywhere, no matter where you are, be in Murfreesboro on those dates to give blood.
That's
and
right.
And we'll be announcing the winner.
At the football game, so come out then, too.
Yes.
Well, we can tell them the winner right now.
Well, that's true.
Once again, before we leave, Gloria, if you would go over the details of this so that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, we're conducting the Competition Blood Drive. It's an annual drive, and now that Western Kentucky has joined the Conference USA, the rivalry is back. So beginning September 8th through the 10th, we will be hosting a blood drive on our campus, not just for students. We're encouraging all 27,000 students to participate, but faculty and staff, as well as members of the community, to come join us. And there will be plenty of parking, thanks to Ray and the rec center, available, so there will not be any inconvenience in accessing our facility on those 3 days. So beginning September 8th, we will start at 12 noon until 6 p.m. That gives people time to stop by even after work. And then on the 9th, we will begin at 10 o'clock until 6 p.m. And then on the 10th, we'll open up earlier at 9 o'clock until 6 p.m. For 3 days, we will be hosting this competition on our campus.
Bleed Blue, yes. For MTSU against Western Kentucky. And we're going to win again. Thank you for joining us today. By the way, today, if you didn't realize it, we have been saluting Middle Tennessee State University. Hey, have a super day. We'll see you tomorrow.